This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
Greetings and good evening. This is Reverend Gary Lubin, serving as deacon with the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to our daily devotion in the early evening for individuals and families, which can be found on page 139 of the Book of Common Prayer. Today's reading from the daily office is Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. Now, let us begin our worship together. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun, and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of our Lord. Well, good evening. What did you think about that reading from Mark? It seems like the Pharisees have come to Jesus, but not to stop, listen, and learn, but to confront him, argue with him, get in his face, somehow trap and discredit him, demanding that Jesus perform for them, asking for a sign from heaven. So who do they think they are anyway? Yeah, well, they were very important people around those parts. The Pharisees were all about creating, interpreting, and enforcing purity laws. They were in charge of a very sophisticated system to compartmentalize, separate, and divide the world into the pure and impure. As a matter of fact, the name Pharisee comes from a Hebrew word which means, quote, "to separate," or if you will, to segregate. Okay, but let's not pick on them too awfully much. They had good intentions, after all. They were sincerely concerned about the people's relationship with God, and they included themselves as part of the people. They are not much different in their motives than the various religious establishments that exist in today's world. And since this is an election year, let's include political establishments too. But you know what is said about good intentions, right? Organizations with good intentions can be quite divisive rascals. Purportedly, the intent of the Pharisees was to preserve a Jewish way of life, to keep it separate and distinct from the contaminant pagan culture that surrounded them, like, for example, the dominant ones being of the Romans and of the Greeks during the time of Jesus. Jerusalem was a very diverse place, so there would have been others too. Now, I do belong to a historically dominant majority, mostly white male Christian religious establishment, including all the denominations thereof. And not to be unpatriotic, which seems also to be intricately part and parcel of the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower described. Am I then a Roman or a Greek in this story? I'd like to think I relate to the plight of the average Joe the plumber. I mean to say, my dad was an immigrant, a welder working for the B&O Railroad and a union man. Or am I more of a Pharisee? Even though technically I am not one, I do sympathize with the Pharisees, being a minority to the dominant Romans. The bottom line seems to be what evolved out of those good intentions. A rigid and burdensome set of rules to apply Mosaic law to the letter to control the minutiae of everyday life and of the average Joe. And the Pharisees saw Jesus as a threat. Well, of course he was. Jesus denounced them as hypocrites, creating barriers to people's ability to love God and to love one another. In fact, that is the answer for my dilemma, love. The Pharisees apply pressure for Jesus to perform. They want something staged to post on social media. Prove to me that you are divine. Change my water into wine. Feed my household with this bread. You can do it on your head. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. That's all you need to do. Then I'll know it's all true. They want something artificial, contrived, and pretentious. Like fake news. But where have they been? The real deal has been there from the get-go. Surely they know about Jesus' baptism, that really, really big event at the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus and his disciples have just returned from, quote, the other side, quote, of the Sea of Galilee, you know, where the pagan Gentiles live, the other side of the tracks, as it were, where he performed many authentic miracles of healing and feeding of the bodies and spirits of thousands of people. And as far as that goes, Jesus has been performing all along on their side of that lake the very same miracles for their own people. These many signs do reveal Jesus' identity and the inbreaking of God's reign. Surely they recognize these signs. Jesus sighs and wonders out loud why they ask for a sign after all of that. And after telling them no circus today, he leaves them in their dust, gets in the boat again, and heads out with the disciples. Then he goes about the business of love, grace, and mercy by healing a blind man in Bethsaida. If the Pharisees were really following Jesus, looking and listening, they would have seen and heard. Jesus flat refuses to perform miracles on demand. Jesus reconciles, heals, liberates, and serves people as individuals out of love. On our Lenten journey, as we are following the path of Jesus, We might ponder what are the signs of these times and the work cut out for us. What's Jesus got to do with all of it? Well, the many signs Jesus did perform were not a circus performance, but real-life acts of love, grace, and mercy for all of the people on both sides of the Sea of Galilee, both sides of the track. Jesus loves them all. Jesus loves all of us. And that is very good news. God's love abounds. There have been many heroes during these contentious times, people acting selflessly for a greater cause. It's beautiful. Imitating Jesus' works, his acts of compassion, living examples of how to live together, keeping the faith, praying together, giving people hope and fellowship. But there is still a lot of work left to do. Amen. And now a reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the collect for Wednesday in the fourth week of Lent. Our Lord, our God, you sustain your ancient people in the wilderness with bread from heaven. Feed now your pilgrim flock with the food that endures to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's now take some time, pausing our worship together, if you'd like to do that, to offer up our prayers of intercession, thanksgiving and praise for the world, for the church, for our national life, for the social and natural orders, for family and personal life, in particular for those who are suffering and those who have died. And now let us say together the collect for the human family, which is found on page 815 of the Book of Common Prayer, page 815. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time all nations and all peoples of the earth may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us say the collect for social order and social justice, found on page 823. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the concluding collect. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture in the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Now in this time of repentance, turning around towards God's love, grace, mercy, and justice, let us go into the world in peace, hope, and joy to seek and serve God, being and doing God's grace, mercy, and justice. Do everything in love.